As we continue this special hour, and we thank the team that goes on either side of us, before us with Kevin Dietz and after us as well. There's a lot going on, and we're happy to be doing it all along the way while we're on the road and wrapping up our Paul W. Smith Pure Michigan tour. Ryan Armani will follow us, and he's got some what is he doing? He's doing something special. So
there's a Detroit Economic Club meeting.
Oh, all right.
We can't be at it, so he's down there doing it.
We appreciate that. So you'll hear that coming up after our show. There was a reason I was bringing this up. Now I can't even remember what it was. Doesn't matter. It'll come to me. It'll be repeated. I don't doubt it. So meanwhile, always happy to welcome Patrick Anderson. And you know what's great about Patrick, besides him being brilliant, is that if Mike Parsons says, we got to get Patrick Anderson today, Patrick, you have responded beautifully, sometimes at the last minute. I hope this one wasn't last minute.
Wasn't it? And good morning to you, Paul W. Yeah, it wasn't last minute because the court decided to drop this important ruling last night, and so I was already looking at it.
Well, it's so nice to have you here, and it's nice to also have some positive news that won't be big in the mainstream, lamestream media, and that is the jobs figures almost two times better than what was expected. We added 115,000 jobs. I don't know how anyone could be against such good news.
No, you shouldn't be against good news. You and I shouldn't even have to say that, but unfortunately you have to. So when you have more jobs, that's good with a G. If you have a lot more jobs, that's good with a capital G. So I'm glad that the U.S. economy keeps going with a capital G.
Well, you've really put a fine point on it, and we appreciate that. Patrick Anderson is the founder and CEO of Anderson Economic Group. We talk about other things, too, obviously. This is not just a pro-Trump, pro-America moment. This is some reality and some facts and figures. And a federal court has dealt another blow to President Donald Trump's trade agenda, ruling against a 10% global tariff the president imposed this year to replace the tariffs that were struck down by the Supreme Court. How's that going to go over?
That's going to go over really well. I mean, this was a moment that we didn't need. The particular kind of replacement emergency tariffs had an obvious legal defect on the day that they were announced, and they were announced after the prior version, the emergency tariffs, which had an obvious problem with them, were imposed. Yeah. So as glad as I am about the growing jobs and as positive as I am about the U.S. economy, including some of the very beneficial things that have occurred under the Trump administration, these kind of tariffs are first of all, they're not constitutional. Second, they're not a good idea.
And why do you think, who's getting into the president's ear to tell him to keep trying to do these things, given what you just said?
Well, I mean, you can't complain about this president in terms of somehow he snuck this one up on us. There are people listening today that were there when he came through Detroit to the Detroit Economic Club in October 2024 and said he was going to levy tariffs. So you can't claim that he didn't tell us that this
right.
was his plan. He clearly did. I think a lot of us thought they were going to be, more measured than they are. And certainly there was never an argument that, well, I'm going to keep proposing these even though they're unconstitutional. I will note that the auto industry is the unlucky one here because the tariffs that have been imposed on automobiles, on auto parts, on steel and aluminum, that according to the Anderson Economic Group, estimate was already $12.5 billion just on autos and auto parts from Canada, Mexico last year. Those are completely legal. They're completely constitutional, and they're not going away.
When the Supreme Court came out in their 6-3 decision that the president's expanded use of International Emergency Economic Powers Act, I believe, exceeded his authority, but they never explained what to do with the $166 billion that was already collected. And I don't quite understand that. I mean, you can make a determination. Why didn't they say at the end of that sentence, all of that money should be refunded, or all of that money that's been collected so far should be kept, or something?
Well, I don't have a lot of sympathy for the government that unconstitutionally collected taxes or tariffs from people and then complains that it's very burdensome to send it back. And I'm speaking not only as a citizen, as a taxpayer, but at one time I was managing tax collections at the state government in the Department of State, or I was a deputy budget director. The fact is, if the government takes money from you, it has to be done lawfully. And if they take too much money from you unlawfully, they got to send it back. So my reading of the Supreme Court's decision on the, and you got it right, every single word, the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, I think was the name of it, that the use of that to levy tariffs when the word tariff wasn't in the law was unconstitutional, and the government should send the money back. And then they didn't say how to do it.
Well, I have to tell you, the first thing I thought of was, what's this going to do to us? We, the taxpayer, are getting it through the nose both ways. Because you and I know government pretty well. You know it way better than me. But as soon as they got that money, it was spent on other things. And so now to give it back means they have to take more money from other projects or ways. And what it ends up is costing the American people twice.
Yes, you're absolutely right, and not only that, but those are the private businesses that paid those taxes, those tariffs that were unconstitutional. They often had to borrow money or take savings from households to finance their companies, and they don't get to borrow at treasury rates. So they're paying home equity mortgage rates, car loans, sometimes credit card. That, even though I don't recommend that, I know that happens for with many entrepreneurs. So, yeah, Americans have paid twice. It's not a good look for us in terms of proper fiscal management. Again, a lot of things are going really well for the United States of America. You'd
Yeah,
rather be here than anywhere else,
oh my
but
God, yes.
this is
People,
not
this is
good.
the only country people die to get into. I don't know how these people don't understand that. Patrick Anderson, quick local story. Front page of the Detroit News above the fold. Chrysler's last stand with a question mark. Storied brand down to just one model, but vows more is coming. Can you? I saluted people who've worked for Chrysler for the last 20 years. What a ride that's been. Not a good one. But they still come to work and they still work hard and they still make a good product and hope that they can pull through this. Are they going to pull through this?
Boy, I hope so. I will say that it was over 10 years ago when we said Chrysler was going to have a hard time surviving as a standalone company. But they got a lot of great history, great products, and great engineers out there. And I certainly hope that they survive in some combination, probably with another auto company.
From your lips to God's ears, Patrick Anderson, the great founder and CEO of the Anderson Economic Group. Have a spectacular weekend. And once again, thanks for your help.
All right. Take care, Paul W.
We continue in Focus on the Road, live from the Detroit Golf Club, presented by Rocket, as we continue our annual Pure Michigan Tour on WJR at 11:30.